When you're ready to pop the question, the last thing you want to do is second-guess the ring. At BlueNile.com, you can design a one-of-a-kind ring with the ease and convenience of shopping online. Choose your diamond and setting. When you find the one, you'll get it delivered right to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off your purchase. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. How to get 30, 30, how to get 30, how to get 20, 20, 20, how to get 20, 20, how to get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month? Sold!
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Welcome to the shift with Dez and Katie. Two generations, 2 points of view coming at you. It's the shift. Stand by.
All right. Well, welcome back to the shift. Katie's here and Erica. How do you pronounce your second name, Erica?
Spara, like spare tire.
Katie. Tell us a bit about Erica there.
Erica is a very funny New York City comedian. We've known each other for, 5 years?
Yeah, pretty much since I think we both started around the same time when you moved here.
Yeah, yeah. And she has a great podcast called Shooters Gotta Shoot. Is that right?
Yep, nailed it.
Shooters Gotta Shoot?
Yeah, so the premise is basically we're women that will like DM first. Like we shoot shots. We don't wait for men to necessarily come to us because we have done that and it never works. So.
That's right. And in the rapidly changing dynamics between genders, I feel like that's a good place to go on the offensive.
Oh yeah, for sure. Like I hate the dating advice that's always like, just wait, it'll happen. I'm like, then nothing happens.
So, I mean, I'm sure you guys have chatted about it in the past, but in general, do you find that you deal with a lot of people making preconceived notions of you going first, like that it's like shows of desperate? Like, do you find people have negative associations with the woman making the move?
No, because I think most guys just want to know that you're interested. So even like making the first move doesn't have to be this big, bold thing. It's just like we call it opening the door. Like you find a way to open the door and it's almost like, hey, if you were to ask me out, I would say yes type of thing. And I think
A huge relief for guys because the expectation is on the guy to open the door, and actually it's quite stressful to open the door. So
right, I mean, I've made like big moves in my life in the past that have failed miserably and are embarrassing, so it's like we've kind of learned from those past experience of almost like tone it down and just go very simple. So it's like it could even just be, you know, the classic, like you catch eyes with someone in the bar and you smile at them is like showing a little interest.
Yeah. I mean, that's like you're picking up like, oh, she smiled, like now it's your time to go over. But in general, it's still expected that the guy's making the move. Like you're basically going, you're giving off that body language of like, hey, yeah, like, yes, you did. You're correct. You've caught my eyes and I'm interested, but it's still up to the guy to come over.
Yes and no, I guess. I mean, it's not that it doesn't work the other way around. But women in general are less likely to, like, yeah, physically go over and do something.
Go over,
but
right?
My theory is women are technically always making the first move because no guys are going in fully blind.
You think so?
Like, what?
But I don't
think of a time you had, like, no signal, no nothing, and you just were like, I'm going to go talk to that girl over there.
You know, it's been so long since I hit on somebody in a public space that I can't even.
But my problem is,
go ahead.
I smile at everybody when they look at me. So then they come over and I'm like, oh no, I'm just friendly. I'm so sorry. So yeah, that's hard with the body language thing. I get that. I get guys mixing that up all the time. So, but I
wish
not smile.
I wish I had my neighbor here. You know, we're all locked down out here. And one of my neighbors, a guy in his early 20s, I've known him since he's born, actually. His parents were like older than me, but also like my best friends. And he's very into just going up and talking to women in bars. Like his thing is just like, I just decide if I see some girls, I want to talk to them. I'm just going to go over and just start up a conversation. Not like in a, because he's the least leery guy. He's actually like the nicest guy. But he just figures, I'm just going to go over and talk. He's not even thinking like I'm going to hit on these girls. It's just like, I see some nice looking girls, I want to chat to them. I'm just going to go over and chat. So I wish he was here, because he's very much still doing it like I consider to be like a 90s way of hitting on people, which is like see some attractive people in a bar and I'm just going to strike up a conversation, see what happens. Because I feel like there's less of that happening these days.
Well, what's weird, right?
Yeah, I don't. Okay. Oh, no, you go ahead, Erica.
I was going to say in the pandemic, I've actually been talked to in public more than I've ever been in the past. And I think part of it is like the bars aren't fully open. So it's like these little groups congregating, or even like I ended up meeting someone like in line for the bar while I was waiting to go get a drink. But it's because it's like the opportunities to meet people now in real life seem very limited. So I don't know if it's almost like people have more drive just because it's like, well, I'm out right now, or like I'm at this little bar outside. And like, unless I talk to these people, who knows, you know? But it's so sad that basically I've been in New York for almost 7 years, and all my times being out in a bar, I've like rarely ever been approached. But now in the pandemic, being outside, men will come over and talk to me.
Do you think that's partially because we're all experiencing something at the same time, so it's very easy to just connect with people? You just be like, hey, we're going through this, eh? Do you think that takes away some of the stress of like talking to somebody?
I don't think so much it's the stress. I think it's more people are just lonelier in a way.
Yeah.
And also you either have more free time right now or you have less free time right now. But I feel like people sitting there, if you don't like online dating, you're basically like, how am I going to meet someone? And it's like, well, now you have to talk to people when you're out.
Yeah. Well, I had a guy cycle by me and I was like wearing my mask, and then he pulled up and he was like, hey, you're beautiful, can I have your phone number? And I was like, you can only see half of my face. But you know.
Well, that's the debate, right? If someone's wearing a mask, you can't see their face. Would you give them your number? So did you?
No, but I was just kind of like kind of scared just because I was taken off so I was like, oh, I'm married.
Yeah, but also, you know, random dude on a bike, it's a bit much.
Yeah, I also was robbed by a guy on a bike, so I was like still trying to be like, is this guy trying to rob me?
Oh,
it's like traumatized. But yeah,
you were triggered. But anyway, just back to this concept of a woman making them, sorry, like, so you were originally talking about like in the DMs. So do you feel like in the DMs, women are more likely to actually sort of make a move?
I don't know if you're necessarily more likely. I think people in general.
I mean, it's safer though, isn't it? It's safer.
I guess, yeah. Well, especially because someone could just ignore your message. So like you almost aren't really getting rejected directly if they just ignore it.
Mm. Yeah.
So, but like even the advice I'd give to someone like talking in person is pretty much the same as the advice I'd give in a DM. Like how your friend is like, yeah, you just talk to people. Because like just saying hello and like seeing how someone reacts or if they want to continue a conversation with you is basically testing like, oh, they think I'm attractive. They want to keep talking to me on some level, you know, like we always stress trying to come up with something really creative. And it's like, no, a lot of times you could just kind of be like, hey, like, how are you? Or just like, hey, you know, in a bar, I guess more. Maybe I would be like, hey, I'm Erica. Like, what's your name? Like, I've never used a line, you know, like, oh, come here often.
I know, but my male perception of this whole scenario is that it's just easier for a girl. Like, I always feel like most guys are going to be like, awesome, some girl is hitting on me. They're going to like just be delighted. Whereas my male perception is that like often a woman are going to be like, who is this fucking pest?
Okay, well, maybe a men's reaction isn't that we're a pest, but I'm living proof that you can hit on men and be completely denied. And they're not just excited right. that you're there. Because I guess to your point,
so what's a male? Because I mean, obviously, I have a lifetime of experience of sort of like indifferent women in that scenario, but I have no experience with what's it like to be sort of.
You don't have any women in your DMs? Is this what you're telling me? There's not one woman DMing Des Bishop.
Well, sorry, I was stepping off the DMs there for a sec. I was actually jumping back into like physical rejection. I'm curious how a man in the I'm a woman walking up to a man and being like, "Hi, I'm Erica." What's the kind of like brush off? Because I mean, even in film, right? Because obviously, film is just full of sort of one way traffic often in terms of like. You know, it's like the male viewpoint. So like even in films, it's like the guy goes up and the girls are just like, whatever. You know, like you can almost see that image straight away. Whereas seeing the male rejection, I don't even have an image in my head of what that looks like.
I think first they're just shocked that a woman initiated, especially if it's like initiating literal conversation.
Yes.
And I mean, I think that's something that's like you just feel the vibe. I've had a guy just kind of be like, "Oh, hey," like, and they basically will just talk to you for like, I don't know, 10, 15 seconds. And it's like, they'll find a reason to either like literally leave and walk away or just end the combo of like, "All right, well, have a good night." And just like, just turn around.
Yeah. But you walk away. Do you think you have a better gauge of the walk away than some guys that actually end up being a bit pesty? Like, "I can't get rid of this guy," kind of a thing.
I'm confused with the question. Do you mean like, I'm better at telling like this guy's not into me and I'm not going to push it.
Yes.
Yeah. Women are way more in tune with that because we're used to being the opposite.
Yeah. So you're aware of the annoying behavior. So you're pretty confident to not be that on the other side.
Yeah. Which is why it's like the best thing is something very little. Like my good friend, her move is she'll see a guy like near the bar. She'll go near the bar and she'll ask him to hand her a napkin. To be like, "Oh, excuse me, can you get a napkin?" But she basically was like, "I just broke the barrier. And if he is interested, he'll probably say something to me extra. And if he's not, he'll hand her the napkin, like, here you go." And you're like, "Oh, thank you." And then like, that's it.
That's so funny. Well, I've also found though as well, a guy you could go up and talk to him for a while and he'll be like friendly and chatty. And then maybe after an hour, he'll be like, "Oh, me and my girlfriend are going away this week." And you're like, "What the fuck?"
Yeah.
So I do find like that girls will be quicker. Like it'll be like sentence two to be like, "Oh, I have a boyfriend." Whereas guys will just chat away, kind of be like, "Oh, this friendly person."
Yeah. Girls are almost too quick.
Well, that was an hour of my night.
It's like mean. The guy's like, "Hey, you know, I'm Will." And they're like, "I have a boyfriend."
Do you? Well, yeah, they're being safe, right? But does your friend have any great, did she ever throw back any great responses in terms of the things that she's heard? Like, "Hey, can I have a napkin?" And then the guy responds with whatever.
Like in terms of that it worked or a negative?
Guy's witty responses.
I mean, I'm here to tell you, guys are not that
witty. If the guy wants to keep it going, I'm just curious, like, what the guy says.
He's like, "I got some napkins at home, and I don't want to use them anymore. I need a girl."
Yeah. I mean, I feel like in general, then it's just, like, very easy conversation. Like, I feel like, especially at a bar, if you have a mixed drink, it's very easy to just be like, "Oh, what are you drinking?" type of thing. Or even, the bar is super crowded. That's why she's asking him to grab a napkin, and he's just like, "Man, it's packed in here tonight." And you're like, "Yeah, it's crazy." And, you know, and especially if it's like, "Oh," he's like, "Yeah, I haven't been to this bar before. Like, I have." Like, I feel like there's so many little opportunities to just start a combo, you know?
And then 3 years later, you're doing a TikTok of the story of your relationship.
I had a similar one. It's really embarrassing, but I would go up to guys and be like, "Oh, have we met before?" And then they'd be like, "Oh, no." And I'm like, "Oh my God, you look so familiar."
I've heard this one. Well, this is also why they tell you you actually go out by yourself. Like one of the books we read on our podcast said you should go out by yourself. And then it also said to bring a book that was a place you wanted to travel to, like about that place, and just sit at the bar reading that book.
Oh, that'd be really sad, though, if no one ever, you're 3 hours later, you've read the whole book and no one's talked to you.
Yeah, that's a risk.
I'd be writing a bad review on that book.
Right. But even if you're not reading it, like, I guess having it out, that's like, it's an open door of, it gives someone something to talk to you about. Yeah. Like, "Oh, Spain. You planning a trip to Spain?" Or like, "Oh, have you ever been?" Et cetera, et cetera.
Wow, that is good advice.
So you have to get like a rough guide to Spain type thing?
No, I'm just
Spain for dummies.
I feel like you're asking me like examples of how to shoot a shot or like how to open.
No, it's good. It's really interesting. It's to really be honest, good. all your examples are taking me back to the 90s. Because like,
I know,
I traveled in the 90s, the early noughties, with travel books before the internet, before like roaming on your phone, no Google Maps. Like I did all that. So you brought me right back to looking through my Lonely Planet, being like, "Oh, this is one of the good hostels."
Well, I was going to say, have you ever pulled like asking for directions, but you actually know where you're going?
Again, like I said, I've been. It's been a long time since I had to pull any of these moves, but I get. I mean, asking
you're
for
just like look at my YouTube.
Like honestly, I feel like anyone who asks for directions nowadays, like it's like a bad move because it's like. You don't like. I clearly see your phone is in your hand. What the fuck are you doing asking me for directions?
That's what I'm saying. That's a line that has disappeared now that we all have the internet in our pocket. Yeah. You can figure it out.
Yeah, we fucking lost it.
That's so true.
Yeah, I guess unless you're super old, I'd be like, yeah, of course, this person's not on Google Maps.
can I share with you? This is.
I was just gonna say, in New York, I've had people because even with Google Maps, they'll be confused which way is which avenue. So that's like something that someone will be like, hey, is 7th Avenue this way or that way? Like something like that, I guess, is like reasonable to ask. But sorry.
Yeah, that's fair enough because New York can be confusing, you know, like with the numbers and stuff. But can I just tell you a quick story, which is completely off topic, except that it's related to Google Maps, okay. But it's nothing to do with dating. But it's a very Irish. This is a very Irish moment. Okay.
I was like, it's your podcast. You could tell the story.
No, I know. Yeah. But it's just, you've reminded me of this. And now I just want to tell it really quick. Okay. But this, Erica, this will give you an insight into Ireland and how small it is. Okay. So yesterday or 2 days ago, I was walking to the beach. I'm now in the West Hampton Dunes, like the western end of Dune Road. It's very out of the way. Like you really have to screw up to be here unless you're trying to be here. Right. So this car pulls up and he says, excuse me. Can you tell me how to get to Bayshore? Now, if you don't know Long Island, this guy has come from Queens and Bayshore was like an hour ago. So he's gone essentially because he's got an hour past on the LIE. Plus he's come back along Dune Road. So he's like an hour and a half off where he needs to be. So I'm like, Bayshore? I said, man, you're like way off. And he says, well, I'm trying to get to Fire Island. I put Fire Island into my GPS and it took me here. I was like, oh yeah, man. I said, you've really missed it. Like, and so I take his phone because he's like a 60-year-old Irish guy. I take his phone and I put in, you know, the Bayshore Fire Island ferry, and it's like 54 minutes back to where he needs to get. And in the end, it's all sorted out. And I said, what part of Ireland are you from? He said, Galway. I said, which town? He said, which town? Dunmore. And then I said, you know, because I've lived in Ireland half my life. He said, did you where? I said, Dublin, blah, blah, blah. Anyway, so right at the end, I said, listen, I said, if you have any cousins back in Ireland still, tell them that Des Bishop gave you directions to how to get to Bayshore. And he goes, Des Bishop, the comedian? I said, yeah. He says, you're not fucking Des Bishop. I said, I am Des Bishop. So now I'm thinking he's excited because I'm Des Bishop because I'm the Irish comedian. And he goes, you grew up next door to my cousin, Bridget Nosel. My next door neighbor in Queens.
Oh my God. Oh, really? Cousin. In Queens?
She's dead now. She's dead now, but she was the loveliest woman, Bridget Nosel. I said, oh my God, you're Bridget Nosel's cousin. I mean, she was the loveliest woman. And he was like, yeah, but her son, Marty, is a fucking asshole. And I said, you know, I fucking hate that guy. I said, so this random direction thing, we're talking about, like Marty Nosel threw a brick through our window when I was like 10 years old. Like he is the biggest dick. Anyway. That's a very Irish, the very Irish moment in terms of asking for directions. Anyway, back to our scheduled programming there.
I was like, also in terms of honesty, that's my favorite thing about you guys. You're just like, yeah, no, I fucking hate that guy. I'm like, good.
Oh, I know. Well, actually, as I'm saying it now, I hope he doesn't listen to the podcast, but I'm pretty sure that he doesn't. And if he does, at least now he knows because he's a fucking pain in the ass.
Yeah.
So he's very
odd. Your man going to Fire Island as well. Jesus, I hope he's still COVID-free after that.
Why? Was there a problem in Fire Island?
Yeah, it was all up on the Twitter news because that's how I get my news. But because there was like hundreds and nearly, I don't know, like a huge amount of number of people are just all close together and loads of videos. Everybody was giving out about it.
There's no outbreak though, right?
Oh, not yet. People are just mad.
Oh, yeah.
It'd be great if there wasn't an outbreak. Then it'd be like, well, would Fire Island's safe, I guess? But yeah, there was huge, huge outroar of it on Twitter. Did you see that, Erica?
No, I didn't see the Fire Island one, but it's just, I mean, everywhere is spiking except New York City. People are behaving.
Yeah, because we got the scare. So before we get into talking about COVID dating, which was the general topic that we were going to discuss, have you had much success with your shooting your shot theory? Have you had any successful relationships?
I dated someone for like 4 months that technically was me shooting the shot and making the first move. That ended like end of January.
A DM or a face to face?
It was someone that like I ran into that I knew from like years ago. And then we like just kind of started talking, like texting and stuff like that. But yes. I was the one of, there was something he like, we were just talking like friends, because he was producing comedy shows and then being a comedian, he like had questions about how to run this show. And then I remember one night he was like, oh, like, what do you have going on tonight? Like, we were just talking. He's like, oh, what are you up to? And I just was like, why are you trying to ask me out? Like, I just like threw it out there. Cause I basically was like,
oh, you threw it out there. That's a big flirt.
Yeah.
That's great.
And he was just like, maybe something like that. And I was like, all right, well, let me know when you're free. I'm like, yeah.
I love that. And how do you, so when you've shot the shoot or whatever it's called,
when you've shot the shot. That's tough, Katie. In fairness, that's tough grammatically. You know
that is. I'm already struggling with normal words. Because
you've gone into the past tense. You know, you're shooting your shot, mm-hmm. but now you're thinking when it's done. So I guess it's when you shot your shot. Shot has been shot.
When you've shot your shot, and you've been rejected, how do you handle the rejection? Because I know that that's where a lot of women are afraid to make the move. I have a friend and I pushed her to asking someone out and I was like, if you get rejected, look, at least you'll be over that. And she got rejected and she hasn't let me hear the end of it.
Oh, she's devastated. Well, but it's just, not your fault. She has to learn to deal with her emotions.
Oh yeah, and she'll be better. And like, I've been rejected. I went in to kiss someone twice in my life and they were like, whoa, 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 we're just friends. And I was like, whoa, I misread all of these signals. But I was
fine. That's way harder than like asking someone out. I'm like, oh my God, being rejected physically, that's tough.
Yeah. But what about you? How did you handle the rejection?
Well, that's the thing. I agree that women in general don't handle rejection very well because they're not used to being the one to shoot shots. So the rejection, it's almost like they take longer to recover. Whereas a man could like get rejected by 4 girls in one night at a bar and he's just kind of like, not my night, you know. Yeah.
That is so funny.
But that's almost like part of being a man when, you know, boys are growing up. It's like this whole thing of like, make the move, do this, do that. And then part of being a man also is like, oh, she said no, like move on, man, like on to the next type of thing. So honestly, the only way to really cope with rejection is to get used to it, I feel like. Like I was shooting shots in like middle school. So I was like, oh, I've been getting rejected my whole life. That by my adulthood, I'm like, yeah, I'm not really offended if a guy doesn't text me back or if I say, even like in hookup scenarios, you know, because like shooting your shot, especially for women, for sure works if you're just trying to hook up with someone. If you want a lasting relationship, I think it is hard to initiate and then have the man take the male role of like the initiator and the making plans and all those types of things.
Yeah,
that makes sense. But yeah. Did I answer the question?
But that is also down to like gender roles, right? But like it should be up to a man. It should be up. Well, men should eventually become comfortable with not always having to do that. And women should also not always be looking for that, right?
Right. Well, that's the thing is I grew up with so many male friends because my neighborhood mainly had boys. And I would hear them complain all the time about certain things about women. And so my whole life I took notes mentally being like, well, I'm not going to do those things. And I'd hear them say...
What were the top 5 complaints?
Well, the big thing was they'd always be like, why do we always have to be the one to initiate or ask a girl out or blah, blah, blah. They're like, I would love if a girl asked me out. And then I would do it and guys wouldn't like it.
Right.
And exactly. I'd be like, I heard you guys would like this. And they're like, oh, no, we don't actually. And I think it's especially when boys are young, there's kind of the becoming a man thing within them. And it's almost like everyone doesn't have full self-confidence at a young age. That I think sometimes when women initiate in certain parts of relationships, it just makes a man feel emasculated. So in terms of like, you know, we're talking like straight relationships, right? Like male, female, but it's like in general, all relationships, there's a masculine energy and a feminine energy. And we all know couples where we're like, yeah, the woman's the masculine energy. She wears the pants, she runs things. And the male's like more of like a beta per se. But
it's funny how we've even gendered these energies, whereas in actual fact, they shouldn't be gendered.
But saying masculine energy and feminine energy works for, you know, also like homosexual couples. It doesn't necessarily mean a gendered thing. It's just there's certain parts of the relationship that are like you take certain roles. And the longer you're with somebody, the more you build a relationship, the more the roles flip all the time and people are comfortable flipping the roles. But it's always like initially in the first couple months of dating, one person's more masculine energy and one person's more feminine energy. And that typically just comes from who's initiating.
Yeah. Right. So you think, oh, right. So and initiation is still considered.
Considered the masculine energy. The same way, being just like supportive of your partner and cheering them on is the feminine energy.
Mm.
Type of thing. So it's even like if you're dating a woman, say that's like an artist and she has an art gallery, that night it's like she's the star. She's showing off her art and you're there to be supportive of her. You're being feminine energy. Does that make sense?
Yeah, which is, yeah, I get that. I think it's unfortunate that it's gendered because then that creates that sense of there being emasculated, like they're not as much of a man.
Right, exactly.
Whereas, which is, yeah, unfortunate byproduct of the patriarchy.
Well, you know what's funny? I actually had a question, especially since Katie, you're a bartender. So I have two questions. In real life, I'm like, Katie, you must see people all the time, like hitting on other people. Do you have any methods you think are like good ways to, I guess, open the door or like initiate with someone, whether it's male or female?
I guess the success ones I've seen with guys is just that it'd be simply something like a girl. Oh my God. I have had girls come into the bar and read books and the guy has been like talking about the book. That is so true. I didn't even realize that till you said that. That's so funny. And it'd be just like they're reading like normal stuff or if there's something on the TV and then a guy would be like, oh, do you watch this? So like just simple things like that. I've had girls buy guys drink, but one time a girl bought a guy a drink, he drank it and then he went over and spoke to her, but then he started to speak about his wife. So I was like, ooh, that kind of was a fail. But yeah, so I guess just like subtle, really subtle stuff. People just like being like, oh, can I sit here? And like, oh, where are you from? Like very... But I find Americans are very friendly to each other anyway in that regard, that sometimes it might not even be flirting. They'll just end up being friends. So,
but they're all like alcoholics in your bar anyway, right?
Yeah. But sure, one time, I don't know if I said this on the podcast, Des, but one time a guy called me and he was like, hello, is there a British girl that regularly goes there? And I was like they called a bar and I was like, what are you talking about? And he goes, she's got brown hair. She's British. Does she regularly go there? And I was like, why? And he goes, just because I saw her the other night and I didn't get her number and I'll keep coming back to the bar if she regularly goes there. And I was like, well, I don't know any English girl. And I hung up, but I was like, there is an English girl who regularly comes to the bar, but if she wanted to give you your number, I'm sure, like, that's kind of like stalkerish, right?
I guess that's kind of almost like the missed encounters on Craigslist. You know, it's like, I saw you on the 7 train yesterday.
Yeah. It was just because like, I don't know. It was a bit weird, to be honest.
It sounds like a man that is taking initiative, but in the laziest way possible. Like, he's like, I'm not going to keep coming to that bar and spending money if this woman hang out there regularly.
But it's also, there's a couple of English girls who go there. So I'm like, I don't know. There's so many different people who come to the bar. It's such a weird, just come again and see if you see her, you weirdo.
Yeah, it's almost like you were the
I know. Ass. Yeah, I guess he was just trying to, like, lock it down. I mean, he could have been a weirdo or he could have just been desperate, like woke up the next day and thought, fuck, she was amazing. Like maybe I can take some initiative. Maybe.
But
did you tell her the next time you saw her, you know, some guy?
Well, because there's a bunch of English girls. So I didn't know. I was just like to him. I was like, honest. I don't think I know this specific girl because there's a bunch of English girls with brown curly hair.
Yeah, but that's the right answer.
Yeah, yeah. But yeah, it was just...
You're not the bloody matchmaker. So we're going to talk about...
Wait, can I ask you a question? I have one for you.
Me, yeah, go ahead.
That refers to the DM game. Okay, so say a woman wants to hit on you in your DMs. What do you think is like the best way for a girl to go about that? Like, should she straight up hit on you? Should she just DM you and be chatty? What do you think?
Yeah, I'm a bad example because it actually happens. It happens a lot with Irish people. You know, they slide into the DMs.
Well, that's everybody. Everybody slides, but I think we always think like, as women, I guess... We're like, okay, I'm into this guy. What's a way that I could like flirt with him or DM him? Should I just be straight up?
I think it's best to be flirty straight away, but not like, not totally direct. But I think it's good to make it be known that this is a flirt. I think it's bad when it's like you just assume that the guy is going to know because you've slid into his DMs that it's on. I mean, I think if you're an astute man, you'll know that if she slid into the DMs, it's pretty much on. But also, you know, some different strokes for different folks. But I think some guys will probably need just like a proper flirtation to make it clear. And then if he doesn't respond to that, just back out because he's probably a bit of an idiot. But I do think that some clear flirtation will get you to the spot quicker. But I also think that if it's very random, slide into the DMs, I don't know how that plays. I mean, it doesn't.
I was gonna
more
say,
often than not, it doesn't play great with me. But
I was going to say, how do you feel?
I'm also 44 years. I'm 44. I'm not the best. I'm not the best gauge. I have a very sort of, even though I'm 44 and very active on social media, I'm also feel at times I'm a little bit sort of antiquated with the banter. People often complain to me that I'm too direct and don't like have a good social media etiquette with the banter.
Oh, I was going to say
I'm very low on emoji use, for example.
Oh, but that's a personality thing. I'm not a big emoji user either. So when someone uses a lot of them, you feel like you have to match it, and I'm like, I don't like this at all. like people that throw one.
I don't think you should slide in like after a post. Like sometimes I'll do a post like some joke or like on the pod we'll talk about like having somebody's baby, and then people will talk about babies, and then somebody will slide in and be like, I'll have your baby, Dez. I don't think that's a good DM slide. You know, it's just too much.
They're letting you know where they stand.
Yeah, you know, but it's like...
You're like, you could shoot your shot in me.
Yeah, yeah. Perceiving you as a vessel is just not the ideal way.
I was going to say, the advice I got actually from a guy friend was that men don't typically get compliments. And I think that's actually a nice thing to do if they were to DM you and actually compliment you and like flatter you a little. I feel like guys are like, oh, you know what? This is nice. Like
that is true, because girls will kind of roast to flirt. That's how we're taught to flirt. Oh my god.
Yeah, a lot of girls try to like, yeah, what's it called?
Let me read you a very recent DM slide.
Okay.
And you can rate. So this is an unsolicited DM slide from this woman who, by the way, is just straight up saw one of my routines online, not Irish, no previous awareness of me as a comedian. I just saw your period sex skit on Facebook. Hilarious and so true about sex being discussed. By the way, I don't get the grammar, but she's maybe dyslexic. So true about sex being disgusting, period. So what's the point if you add another layer of disgust? She just had no punctuation, so it's a little bit. And then next, she sends another DM. In all honesty, doesn't that just add to the fun and regret aspect later? Crying emoji.
I mean, she's trying to be funny. She's like, he's a comedian. I should be like.
She's responding to the period sex bit. That just breaks down all the barriers. So I just messaged her back and said, "Let me know when you're day 28."
Oh, you did?
I'll meet you the next day. No, I just said amen. Actually.
Okay, can I ask you this? Do you find this woman's?
And then she said. Then she said, "Have you done shows in NYC?" And I was like. She's DTF.
Probably.
What was that?
I was going to ask you, do you find this woman attractive? Did you go look at her profile?
Of course. I look at the profile of even the most annoying fucking DM slide. Are you kidding
That's
me?
What I'm saying.
Because there is a ratio of...
This is
very shallow. This is shallow of me, but there is the annoyingness versus attractiveness ratio. There's a place where they meet.
Yeah, like this woman, I'm guessing, you just don't think is very attractive. Because if you did, you would have been flirty back in return.
I actually chatted to her a little bit just out of curiosity, but it wasn't enough for an hour and 50 minute drive back into NYC. I can tell you right now, but it was fun. We had a bit of, you know, we had a bit of a laugh or whatever, you know, I don't know if you understand this, but her attractiveness was a little ambiguous from her photos.
Yeah,
you know,
you couldn't really tell.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Well, the number one rule, if anyone's going to DM side man or woman, have your profile has to be public on Instagram.
Oh, I can't stand if you DM slide and then you're private, it's like, fuck off.
Yeah. Especially like if you're DM sliding to flirt. It'd be one thing if that girl just messaged you being like, hey, I came across your clips. You're really funny. Like, do you have any shows in New York? Like, hope I could catch one next time. Like that really could just generally be someone that is now a fan of your comedy. But like,
yeah, that's fair enough. And you get a lot of that. And that's really cool. That's just like a little like fangirling / fanboying, depending on which way it's going. And that's totally fine. But this was you know, if you're talking about the and I've had people message me about the period sex bit.
Well, also because it's sexual. So it's like, if you're trying to flirt, it's a sexual bit. So it makes sense.
Yeah, but I've definitely had women, like feminists and stuff, that message me about the period sex bit that is clearly not flirtatious. It's just kind of like a fucking high five on the period sex bit. But you can tell that it's not flirtatious. Whereas she kind of wants, she didn't just talk about the period sex bit.
Yeah.
She then sort of was like visualizing the actual period sex and why she likes it.
For sure.
You know, she's not sort of responding to the sort of, the feminist, you know, the aspect of the routine that's like, you know, oh, well done, blah, blah, you know. Even though I didn't do it because it was feminist, I did it because it was funny.
Yeah, but it's like, that's for you. If anyone's listening to this podcast trying to DM side on Des Bishop, I feel like an easy way is to compliment one of your bits and then just try to like chat a little bit. You throw in a compliment. But or I meant physical compliment.
Call me daddy. That's also fine. Call me daddy is good. Hey, daddy. Like it's an automatic response.
But I think for people
and then
who aren't...
every time I respond to one of them, it's like also followed by Chris D'Elia.
But I think for people as well who aren't, you know, there's people who have nothing that they can comment it, or like, you know, they're just like normal people, they're not posting the way we are posting. I think a story, because everybody always puts up like a story of their dinner or like their walk or something, and that's like, oh, that's a nice walk, how's your day, you know, and then they go like, I'm fine. Or, I'm fine, how are you?
Yeah, there's definitely people we see that post, whether on Instagram feed or the story, that it's like, you're posting this so someone responds to it.
Yeah.
Like, that's why I had to...
That's so funny.
I, like, recently blocked my ex because I would keep going and checking it, and it would bother me when I would see things that I'm like, yeah, you're trying to get a girl to respond to this, and I was like, I can't see this anymore.
Yeah.
What's your feeling on, like, the hot, you know, the fires and all those...
That's like a line in a bar that it's like every guy does that. But
like if you've chatted quite a bit and you just haven't kept up your
chats, like not as an opener. Like miles, it's nice. It's like a compliment.
Yeah, not as an opener. Just like, and even just like like say for example, one of the girls that works at the Comedy Cellar, we're good buddies, we've never had a thing. I mean, I guess we've had a flirtatious friendship, but we've never had a thing and we're never going to have a thing. But, you know, every now and then she sends me a fire, I send her a fire when she posts like a hot pic. That's acceptable, right?
Yeah, that's fine. People send me fires all the time and I never even read into it. I'm just like, oh, thanks. Because I'm putting because I want people to be like, you look good. So I'm like, thank you. Now I feel validated.
Yeah, it's almost like the fire is too obvious that we just, the only people willing to do it are like people that are your friend.
Yeah. Yes. Yeah, like, they're not. Yeah.
Right. But that's even like if you post a thirst trap, like someone's not going to DM the thirst trap. They'll then later DM like a more plain post because it's like they look too thirsty. But it's like, I know you're DMing me because you see my hot photos. Like you see the hot photos that you like. And you're waiting for the like, boring opportunity to slide in, you know.
To make it seem like you're not responding to that.
Right. Like, oh, I'm not a like complete a monster. It's like, okay.
So you've been doing some COVID dating.
I have. I've tried a little COVID dating, mostly online, because I've never really tried online before. And I was like, well, I kind of don't have an excuse to not try it now.
And when you say online, you don't just mean like a Hinge swipe. You also mean then that you began to sort of like Zoom date or FaceTime date or whatever.
Well, in terms of like online, mostly I mean like I was on two apps. I actually just deleted Bumble because I wasn't enjoying Bumble. So now I'm just on Hinge. And just in terms of like, yep, matching with people, talking with people, then like FaceTime date. And then I did go on a couple like in-person dates. But was it
how at how serious a time of COVID was your first meetup?
It was after my birthday. My birthday was May 6th. So it was like,
all right. So it was when people were starting to,
starting to branch out other around. Than like, I've seen my roommate in the grocery store, you know, cashier type of thing. that was definitely at the point when I started to, it was like, well, I'm clearly going to like FaceTime with these people and kind of be like, okay, is this worth like, would I one want a second date? Two, is this person worth like meeting in real life, I guess, in a way, which is something that honestly, I think I would keep even if COVID is cured and we all can like go back to life as it was, because it saves a lot of time and money also for the guys. So I'm like, I don't see why people are against it.
So you're saying the FaceTiming does, or that first like casual meetup?
The FaceTiming, I think. Does.
Yes.
Yeah.
I 100% am with this.
Or like,
I mean, I'm more of a phone conversation guy, just because.
Well, that's who
I've had FaceTiming, but
couple like you text or you're texting back and forth, and then a guy just goes, "Actually, can I just call you?" And it's like, "Yeah, that's easier."
Yeah. Why didn't we do that from the start?
Yeah. So it's almost something. A lot of my friends that are older have always done like phone call screening before going to meet, because they're just like, yeah, you get to know the person more. And also it's like, it's just like a wasting time thing, especially if you, you know, want to actually be with someone more long term. It's no longer about just like, oh, it's fun to go on a date. It's like, no, actually I would like to like connect with somebody.
Yeah. Yeah. I think it was one of our earliest episodes was like,
yeah,
cut through the bullshit with a phone call. You know, you really can, because some people are very witty on text and they're fucking lifeless when you actually start talking to them.
Yeah.
Oh, that's the
word.
You can
really tell their tone then as well going forward for when they do text. You can kind of tell, like, you get a bit more of a vibe. Yeah, I completely agree. I'm with you on the FaceTime as well. Like, if I were to go back online, I would do a FaceTime before. And it was so much anxiety the first FaceTime I did. Like, I could feel my face red in it and everything. But then the second or third one is better. But also, it's just saving so much time, because I did FaceTime like a guy who I was just like, ah, yeah, this isn't going to go farther. So yeah, I think you're dead right. I think it just, because it's a waste of your time. Like, I can FaceTime in my kitchen. I don't want to go out and go on a and then I got more bitter as I got older and would waste less time. But you know, you do feel you have to stay for at least one drink, and it's just, I've gone, it's like an hour maybe away from your house. It's just a complete waste of time. So I think the FaceTime cuts that out a little bit.
Oh yeah,
I agree with you.
But I mean, also the
joy. What happened with your, so when did you have your first successful FaceTime where you were like, oh, this guy's cool?
I'd say the third FaceTime I had, I was like, oh, okay. And it was funny, because going into the third one, I was almost like, yeah, if this is kind of like the other ones, maybe I'll just take a break for a while. Like, you feel a little burnt out, you know? Like, because the beauty of online is, it's like, oh, there's endless options. But then at the same time, you're like, this is work to really.
Yeah, it gets boring. It does. It gets tedious.
Right. Or the conversations are the same.
Yes. So, first tell us what happened on this third FaceTime, and then maybe give a few tips that you've picked up about like FaceTime etiquette for a first date.
You know, it's interesting. I've found in apps or even like the FaceTime or phone call, if something interesting happens out the gate, it like just like immediately the conversation is so back and forth and so quick. Like, actually a couple app conversations I've had that have taken off was because we started arguing about something.
What were you arguing about?
That wasn't with this guy, but I had a guy I matched with, and he immediately messaged me and just said, "Hey, I just want you to know, I'm not as tall as I say I am on my profile."
Oh, that's unacceptable.
And I was like, so why don't you just put how tall you are? And he goes, well, he's like, I'm telling you now, I'm being honest. And I was like, well, why aren't you just honest on your profile?
Yeah.
And I was annoyed, because I'm like, I'm 5'11". I'm not short. But it's something that I'm like, I date shorter guys. I don't care. That I was offended of, like, no, you're assuming that I would have cared that you were short. And turns out he was my same height. He lied about being 6 feet and he's 5'11". And I was like, what is... But anyway, but his argument, he was like, well, he's like, I get more matches if I say I'm 6 feet. And I was like, yeah, but do you really want to be with people that have like a height requirement in their relationship, or would judge you for being 5'11 and say no to you?
But was he actually 5'11 though? Because I feel like if you're 5'11 and you say you're 6 feet, you don't even have to lie.
Yeah.
I mean,
you don't even have to say, if you're saying you're 6 feet and you're 5'11, I feel like in the first conversation, you don't have to be like, hey, just so you know, I'm an inch shorter.
Yeah.
I feel like he's not 5'11.
Right.
I feel like
that's why it was crazy. Yeah. But I got into like, it wasn't really an argument, but it was actually like a discussion where I was like, no, I'm not letting you win these points. And I was just like, how would you feel if my age was incorrect? I was like, how would you feel if I was actually fatter than my photos? And that was when he finally was like, all right, that's a valid point. I was like, yeah, man, we all could be getting more matches by lying about who we are, but that's not going to get you anywhere.
But it's insane. It's insane how much height lying is going on. Like this comes up.
Most people lie, yeah.
All the time. I've talked, almost every single person we've talked to on this podcast and conversations I've had about this, they have said, I met up with this guy and he was so much shorter than he said in his profile.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Comes up so much.
Me being 5'11", I'm the true like person that can tell if you are 6 feet is just if you're taller than me. And many people do lie just to hit the 6 feet thing, and I get it. But at the same time, it's like, well, if you're lying when you meet me, like, we're going to find out very quick.
Erica, what sports? What sports did you play in school?
Well, a lot of things. I did. I mainly stuck with basketball. Like, I played basketball in college.
Volleyball.
Volleyball, swimming, softball, lacrosse, track, and tennis.
And do you ever play beach volleyball?
Sometimes, I guess. I haven't in a while, but it's very fun.
No, it's just anyway. I literally have to respond to a text. I'm hiring a volleyball coach to come to the beach this evening to up the skill level on the beach. But, you know, we're always recruiting. And when I heard you were 5'11".
Erica, you can go play volleyball.
You're like, guys, we could do the co-ed league. I found a 5'11". Oh, yeah,
We've got to find gender mix. But the volleyball has gotten quite serious lately because some of these kids that I've known since they're born, including the same guy that I was talking about earlier, they're all between 17 and sort of 20, 17 and 30 now. I've known some of these kids since they're born, and it's very competitive. But there's quite a few girls in the mix, but there's no 5'11s, I can tell you that.
I mean, I was a hitter, so if you want a strong middle, I'll get in there.
Oh, yeah, but beach volleyball is all different. But it's funny. Everybody that comes from playing, like, indoor volleyball, they all come with all this stuff that I have no experience with because I never played indoor volleyball. And it's, like, so different. So they're always like, oh, I was a middle, or I was a,
Setter?
There's some other bloody term that I don't know. Anyway, we won't bore our listeners. We won't bore our listeners with that. To be honest, my whole life in the pandemic is beach volleyball. But I was also using an excuse to look because I literally am in the middle of organizing this trainer. $75 an hour is his price.
That's actually not bad for any type of trainer.
I thought it was pretty good, actually.
Yeah, a regular personal trainer is like $125 in this area, minimum.
Yeah.
Like so $135.
Sorry, anyway.
So, but wait. So I've had guys, just back to the height thing, I've had guys lie about their height and then tell me that that I'm wrong about my own height. Because I'm like, oh, no, you couldn't be that height because I'm 5'6.5". And they're like, no, you're not that. And I'm like, I am that. So they try to shorten me so that they can be taller.
Yeah.
There's a lot of insecurity about height.
Yeah, it's stupid. I was lying too once. He's like, you're like 6'1". I was like, no, I'm not, buddy. I'm like, because if I was, I would have played Division 1. And so, yeah, I'm not.
We nearly need to bring a measuring tape. And
in
it's only
fucking
Wednesday.
I'm in WNBA right now.
Yeah, maybe. My whole life would be different.
You wouldn't be on this podcast. But wait, so you had your 3 FaceTime dates with this guy, and then it was during the quarantine, though, you met up with this guy, right? You kind of like snuck out, right?
Okay, so way to call me out, Katie. That wasn't a date. That was a straight. That was bad. The 3 FaceTime dates I had were 3 different people, and the height guy wasn't any of those things. So it was the 3rd FaceTime date I had that just like went well. And oddly, it went well because it actually started with he was on his phone outside and he was like, he's like, my roommate just brought someone home. He's like, and I got the vibe that they were probably going to hook up. So I felt like I should leave. So he was like sitting in a park on his headphones. Like he was just like, oh, sorry, I'm like outside. But then we were like kind of chatting about the other two on the date thing. And he was like, yeah, like he's describing his roommate. And he's like, yeah, he's like this like ladies man, like Cali vibe. I'm like, oh, okay. But then oddly that date, we actually mostly talked about other dates in our past, which is something you're apparently never supposed to talk about on first dates, like exes or past dates. But it's also like, it's a pandemic. There's not that much happening. Because even during one of his stories, he was like, actually, this is probably bad that we're talking about this. Like, I might be blowing it. And I was like, honestly, this is entertaining and interesting. Yeah. Like, I'm like, you could tell me about a woman you had sex with. I don't care. Like, I personally don't feel any, like, weirdness.
Oh, you don't care about that?
I don't. Because it's so funny.
I don't either. I love it. It's so interesting. I'm like, tell me all. Tell me what went wrong. Tell me what happened. Tell me, like, the gory details. I love it.
Yeah, I'm like, okay, maybe first day I don't want, like, crazy details. But it's something of, like... I once had a man get mad at me during the conversation of like, oh, what are you into? Right. So this guy I like matched with, I don't know, on an app and stuff I was talking to, he like was telling me something he was into. And I was like, oh, okay. I was like, yeah, I'm kind of into XYZ. And then he got furious that like I referenced another man in my example. And he's like, why do you think I'd want to hear about you and another man? I was like, buddy, the only reason we both know what we like is because we've done it with other people. I was like, so I don't understand how what you said was cool, but what I said was like not cool. You know what I mean?
Yeah, just because like he's left it as the great unknown of who the woman was, and you've just given it a specific example. They're both the exact same thing.
Like, I think it was something like he said something like, have you ever done BDSM? And I was like, I don't think so. I was like, I mean, a guy's like slapped my ass before. And then he was like, why do you think I want to hear about another man? I was like,
shut up. Really?
I would have been like, bye.
Well, he was actually beginning the BDSM right there.
Yeah. Like I was like,
emotional BDSM.
You respond in the way that you're meant to respond or you can shut the fuck up. Yeah. And then he wanted to see if you got like excited then. And he'd be like, oh, this is she's for me. This submissive 5'11" little bitch is all my all what I'm into.
Yeah, did he do slappy emojis?
No, it's just like, I just couldn't believe how mad he was. I was like, dude, you could calm down. Like, I was like, I was like, forget BDSM. I don't like what's happening right now.
Yeah.
But I think in general, it's good etiquette to not talk too much about your ex.
Well, no, but I think you can be like, you can just chat about, like, especially the more you date, it's okay to chat. Like, you're not like, oh, I'm still in love with them. But like, oh, yeah, this happened or, you know, like in... not necessarily a negative way, but you can be like, yeah, I think that's fine. But I guess it depends on how secure the other person is.
Yeah, or the big no.
I always think, go ahead.
Oh, I was going to say, the big no for me is when you're dating someone, when they constantly reference the ex in the way of like, oh, my ex used to do this, it drove me crazy. Yeah. Or like, I hated the thing my ex did. And I'm just sitting there like, are you indirectly telling me not to do those things? Is that what, and I got to take
notes? I always think if you're on a first date and the woman actually shifts it just a touch sexual, like sexual flirtation, I always think, you know, that it's gone very well.
Yeah.
That they've become that comfortable that quick.
Most dates,
or you know that they're just looking for the sexual healing.
Wait, so you had 3 FaceTime dates with this guy and then you had a social distance date? Or
I had
a date
3 separate FaceTime dates. The third one was good, that I then went on a real life date with that guy. But it was something like, if someone's like, oh, you know, how do you make a FaceTime date good? I'm like, it's something like, I just had a lot of fun and it made me want to meet up with him because I was like, oh, this guy's fun and I had a good time. And that's really the basis of it. And it's something that, like, I think people will think this is nerdy, but I'm like, I think it's good to, like, before a date, kind of like think of some questions to ask somebody, especially stuff that like is a little bit personal. So you're getting to know them, but more like fun. Does that make sense?
No, yeah, because when
but not too organized either, though.
No. Yeah,
what's
like
your
I see you checking
favorite?
Notes.
Well, when I was FaceTiming the guy I'm seeing now for the first few days, I think it was like the third FaceTime. He did like a quiz thing, but it was actually a lot of fun. I ended up doing it with like my friends afterwards. But you actually get to know each other really well. It was some sort of personality test, but we were just like laughing at the answers and you have to ask these questions. And like, it was really, really good. But I was like, oh, that's unique and something to do. That's not just like,
well, especially like, so I was going to say, if you're FaceTiming someone and they're like living with their parents right now, a great question would just be like, oh man, have you ever like snuck out of the house as a kid?
Yeah.
And then it's like, oh, what'd you sneak out for?
That's like a fun.
Or it's like, what it really was like something you got in trouble for? Like things like that. Like you kind of get to know them, and it also like gives a person an opportunity to like tell a story and show a little personality.
Yeah.
And so then what was this after the FaceTime? What was the date?
So the date was, he actually picked me up on his motorcycle and I went on a motorcycle ride with him, which was actually pretty cool.
In the middle of, you're supposed to social distance.
I know. Well, the thing is, I agreed to go on the date that it was like, we were going to be sitting close enough that it was like, you know, and no masks on, that I was like, I was comfortable, I guess, with that level. We went on a motorcycle ride to, the park, like by Greenpoint. I'm not sure what it's called. And then we like put masks on, went and got like pizza, brought it to the park, ate the pizza, had like a little picnic. Then went on a little walk to a different park section, got a drink to go from somewhere, then had a drink and like sat and hung out and talked. So basically it was like a little picnic date. Yeah. Which also is
early May. The weather agreed.
Yeah. It wasn't that like, I wasn't sweating. Like I wasn't sitting there sweating brutally. But the thing is, since then I have gone on 2 other like picnic dates, but the efforts by the men have been like nothing, that it just was a huge turnoff. Like the one guy just brought wine, no blanket. Like I luckily just like threw a towel in my bag, cause I knew, I'm like, I bet he's not even going to think to bring a blanket to like sit on. So he brought wine. And then I also threw in, like, I had a bag of chips. But we have the date, we're like talking, and he was doing, I understand that this is a test a lot of times on dates, of like touching a little bit to almost be like, is there like any
the reaction
chemistry? But he was literally like tapping me at times that were not like mid-sentence tap, and I was just like, what is this man like?
Is he a hypnotist?
No, just I don't know. But I like suddenly hit the point because we were sitting on the ground. I was like arms around my legs sitting, almost to be like, do not touch me. Like, oh, no. I've had enough.
But that's good. Then it worked.
But have you guys seen the movie A Bronx Tale?
Ever? No.
Sure.
Old school movie. There's the classic, the tip he gives his son when he goes on a date is about if the girl reaches over to unlock the car door for you, right? So I indirectly had a weird like Bronx Tale test during this date, which I didn't realize. I had chips. They were out. We didn't open them. And then it was like, okay, time to go. Like, date's over. So we were packing up the stuff. And I was like, oh, do you want any chips? And he was like, oh, well, and he like went to open them. I was like, no, no. I was like, we're leaving. Don't open them. But I was like, oh, do you want them? And he took them. He like took my bag of chips and I was annoyed by it. I was like, why did you take the chips? I didn't take the wine you brought. Like, it was just an interesting, I didn't mean it as a test, but like when I left, I was like, and this dude took my chips. It was a bad date.
He took my chips. He turned you into fucking Larry David.
That's basically. I became Seinfeld.
End of a bad date.
Yeah. But then the third picnic date I went on, this guy, we just went to the park and sat in the park. Didn't offer me a drink, nothing, snack, nothing, not even like a water. And he also like,
I guess maybe
straight
like
up rolled out of bed. What?
It's like that the pandemic or the restrictions are getting looser. So now the guys are going back to old New York guys where they don't bother.
Well, I think it's just in general.
No, old New York guys would definitely be buying you stuff.
I don't mean old as in like you. I mean as in 3 months ago when guys would rather have sex with you before committing to a second date because you haven't put out. Like, do you know what I mean? Like, they don't really... Oh, I don't want to buy your dinner. I'm not invested yet. Is kind of what we're experiencing dating in New York. There's no romance. There's no anything. And one thing I've noticed with the pandemic is the guys who message you to go on a date, there was like more creativity, more of an effort. It was like going back to old school. So when I say old New York, I mean like guys our age, our generation, 4 months ago.
Well, the thing is, all three of those dates were before like restaurants had like tables out that you could actually sit somewhere, but everything had to go stuff. So it was just, I just remember sitting on this park bench looking at this guy being like, I first of all look good, like I dressed hot, I did my hair, I got a low v-neck on, like my boobs are out, I look good, okay? Like, I know you got to bring it on a first date. And I also went to his neighborhood because I have a car. So I was like, well, I'll drive to your neighborhood. And he lived near the park. But it was like, it was just crazy to me.
Which neighborhood?
Like Park Slope. So he was near Prospect Park, which is a nice park. Like,
this guy fucking lives in Park Slope and he makes no effort?
I know. That's awful. What I'm saying. So I was like, dude, I just felt like I put so much effort in. And it was like, you didn't even offer me a water at any point.
But how do you not even be like, hey, let's meet outside this ice cream place. We'll get an ice cream and go for a walk in the park.
Mm-hmm. Exactly. You know? But yeah,
it's a half hour, 45 minute commitment. If it goes well, you do something else.
Exactly.
Also, like, guys need to put in the effort now with COVID for us to have sex with them. So he should be like, you're like, oh, well, now I'm definitely not going to fuck you. Like, all you had to do was put in a bit of effort. And you're like, because even with people meeting up with people in quarantine or outside quarantine, you've already done like the rules, like, oh, we haven't seen anybody else, we've been in quarantine, it's safe. Mm-hmm. So there's all these extra things now before you have sex. So it's like, you think a fucking ice cream at least, or a to-go coffee, or this guy's the worst. He's not getting blown for the year.
So this is my question I was going to ask you guys. I told my friend, because I was like, this guy also straight up rolled out of bed, like shorts and a t-shirt that were like gym clothes, didn't match, didn't even like brush his hair, like bad. And it was something that he was like, you should be more of a bitch. And I was like, you think I should have said something in person to this man? Like, because once you're already there, it just feels like, I just sat there being like, I'm not going on another date with this guy. That's all my brain thought. And then after, because it was a guy friend, he was like, you should send him a text being like, you know, I was really disappointed that you didn't put like any effort in, and da da da. And
nah,
I was sitting
him.
There
because
like,
you don't want to date him. So
I was sitting there like,
it's not your job to teach him.
Why am I going to teach him how to get women in the future? I'll let this man fail forever.
Yeah, no way.
Like, but my friend was being like, you know, it really helped me through my life when a woman would kind of give me a heads up of like, hey, it really bothered me when you did XYZ. But I was like, but if I don't want to see this man ever again, I don't care. I was like, why would I say anything?
You give your guy friend that guy's number and he can take it.
Yeah, let them do a podcast on what not to do.
Yeah, right? Or like, I guess, I'm curious, Des, have you ever like asked a girl for like feedback in any way about like maybe you were asking her for a second date and she just was like, oh, you know, to be honest, I'm not interested, like blah, blah, blah. Have you ever been like, if you have any feedback, like anything like that?
Nah,
I feel like
I have never asked.
Because you're just opening yourself up for criticism as well.
No, like, but I mean, yeah, but also it's just like if they weren't into it.
Yeah. You make them feel uncomfortable if they're just like, I just don't fancy you.
Well, I think they never did anything wrong either. They're like, oh, I guess it's just not.
The one bit of feedback I got one time was this was a DM slide situation, but very, very hot, I have to say. Like, kind of like I was excited to meet this girl. We had a lot of chat online, but we didn't live in the same place, but I happened to be in her town. So we had a date. She had a kid, but we had a date. So she had organized a babysitter and I had her down as a 50-50 flake anyway, you know, which is totally fine. It's a first date. Flakes are completely acceptable because you don't know them. So it's really, the stakes are low. So, like all organized. I checked in that day. She was like, yo, all good. And like, I don't know, whatever. She flaked like about 3 hours before the date, which again was like totally fine. And so then after she flaked, I was like, well, listen, you know, if you want to meet up for coffee in the morning, because I was leaving the next day. And she was like, oh yeah, I'll let you know, you know. And then, you know, we never met up. And then like 2 days later, she unfollowed me, right? So I didn't notice that. Sorry, I shouldn't say 2 days later. I didn't notice she had unfollowed me. And then at some stage later on, like I guess a couple of weeks later in her stories, I just happened to see, is she still following me? And I see she wasn't following me. So I messaged her. I was like, what's up? Did I do something wrong? And she was like, well, I just don't respond well to eager. And I was like, I just unfollowed her straight away and I didn't respond. Mm-hmm. But I was just like,
That's a her thing. I wouldn't worry, but yeah, that's...
No. But I was just like, I was laughing to myself being like, eager. It's just like, okay, like we have approximately 48 hours to meet up in this window. We made the plan. You flaked. I gave it one more shot. You couldn't meet up, which was totally fine. I don't know where the eager is. So I was I just unfollowed her. So that's the only bit of feedback I ever got. Like, I don't respond well to eager.
Right. Or also like when someone says the line, I'll let you know, I don't say anything else. I'm like, well, they said they're going to let me know. And if they want to see me, they'll make the effort. So the fact that you also left her alone after that.
I didn't mind. I didn't follow up after
that.
But I also
didn't mind.
She got a kid. Yeah. You're like,
let me know. You're like, okay, that's it.
I was disappointed and I wouldn't mind. But by the way, just for the record, at the beginning of this interaction, because I was following her for quite a while. Mm-hmm. And I never slid into her DMs. I just followed her. I was literally just looking at her hot pics, you know, and suddenly she followed me out of the blue like a couple of months later and then unsolicited from me messaged me and was like, oh my God, I can't believe you're following me. I had such a crush on you when I was younger.
Okay.
So I was like, oh no. Better. She said, I used to have such a crush on you. So I was like, used to question. Like, hello, yeah, easy, easy. Okay. So it's like, bitch, ego. Like, I didn't fucking even come at you.
Yeah, anyway, no, she has. That's,
well, clearly you've let it go, Des.
You're just talking about like any feedback. So I was thinking that's one time somebody was like, I don't respond well to eager. It's like, whatever.
And all that is probably she just literally bottled it and then wanted an excuse for why she wasn't going to go. Do you know?
But it's all good. I mean, you always know there's a certain type that you think are like potential flakes.
Yeah.
You know? And when they flake, you don't chase, you know?
Yeah.
It's just kind of like, you got to get them in a good window. I mean, I always give a single mom the benefit of the doubt because it's just like a lot.
You know? I mean, the sitter like thing is a lot, yeah.
Yeah, and just like the hassle, you know, it's like some dude that just comes into town every now and then, you know, for a while it seems exciting, but as it gets close, it's like, why am I going to waste my time with this motherfucker? He's probably just going to try to fuck me and then just go back to whatever the fuck he does. So I completely get, like, you don't understand. It's like, I completely understanding for your side. I'm not even upset on the flake, but I don't like when somebody tries to throw the flake on me.
Yeah. That was shite.
Yeah. Fucking keep your fucking dandruff on your fucking shoulders.
Because all she had to just say is, oh, no. And she didn't even have to unfollow. She could just mute. I'm not a fan of unfollowers anyway. I get really annoyed when
she unfollowed, which is totally her right. And I did, by the way, I did check back in just to be like, you know, did I do something wrong? So, I mean, I did check back in. So that's on me.
Yeah, no, but she still could have been just like, oh.
I feel like every time there's a breakup more so, everybody always sits there going, did I do something wrong? And that's kind of what you want the answer to. Like, hey, was there a specific reason? Did I do anything wrong? And a lot of times I did look
for feedback on that.
Like a lot of times it's not like you did one thing and it was like, oh, that's it.
Well, by the way, her unfollow was also kind of strange because it was just like she canceled the date. And then
she could have just muted you.
Well,
don't worry, we're on your side.
No, I get it, but it was an odd one. Killer. It's like, I mean, it's one thing, just like, but then the unfollow was like, wow, that's like a bold move for considering that you were literally hours from meeting me, and then suddenly, you know, it's like an odd one.
Well, here's the thing: unfollowing and you noticing opens up for questions because it's of course if someone unfollows you, of course you're gonna be like, oh wait, actually, what happened? So it's like if I don't want someone like the last guy I was seeing, I didn't unfollow him because I don't even want to open up that I just muted him, do you know? I was just like, oh, I don't want to see his stuff, I'll just mute him. And because if I unfollow him, then there is a thing for him to be like, oh my god, are you still mad, are you annoyed? And it's like,
yeah
of course that would open up conversation. Same if he unfollowed me, he definitely muted me too, by the way.
That was me and my ex, same thing. We both muted each other and it's like, why are we still following each other then? It's stupid.
And it doesn't open up any drama or any fight or any, it's just like, oh, I don't need to see this. But yeah, an unfollow definitely opens up for conversation because it gets in your head. You're like, oh God, why would they? Was there something else I said? Was there something I did? Did I handle that wrong? Yeah, I'm sorry. If anything, she might have been like, she might have wanted you to see it. Can I ask you, Erica, a question? This is totally off that.
Oh, sure.
Have you, what about like sex in the pandemic? Are you nervous at all because of COVID, or are you like, I'll be okay, or are you like, I'll just have sex and wait 2 weeks and see how I feel? Is like, does COVID come into your head at all?
I mean, it obviously does because clearly you're putting yourself at risk. But it's something that it's like, I guess how I'm seeing it is like, if I'm meeting up with someone, not fully distancing 6 feet, sitting and talking to them for an hour with no masks on, you are putting yourself at risk for getting COVID. So it's like, if you're to be going on a few dates with a person and doing that, hanging around them with no mask on, you're essentially, you've already hit the risk part. So then suddenly jumping it to sex or making out isn't a big jump in my brain, personally.
I agree with you. Yeah.
So it's like, that's why there's a lot of people that they're still not actually meeting anybody up in person. And I totally get that. And I don't shit on anybody for what they're comfortable doing. But to me, I'm basically like, you know, I'm like, I've been around you and we haven't had masks on. We keep talking. It's like, that's essentially what we're finding is stopping the spread is wearing the mask. So if you're already going maskless, the makeout sex portion isn't like that big.
Yeah. You listen, at some stage, you know, you're going to take a risk. I mean, it's not like you're gathering 40 people together, no masks, indoors, potentially spreading to 10 or more people. Mm-hmm. It's like you may or may not spread to this guy or get it off this guy. And you're still keeping your circle small. So yes, of course, it increases a risk by a tiny percentage chance, but it's worth it. I haven't taken that risk for sex. I've only taken it for volleyball. But I think in relation to meeting up with somebody, it's pretty low level, especially at this stage of where New York is at.
Yeah.
Well, not to mention, how much fucking condomless sex have you had in your life and been way less worried about the spread of disease?
I mean,
I know the guy that I'm seeing is like freaked out about COVID, but we had condomless sex, and I'm like, you're like unbelievable.
Yeah. Really? I'm like, literally like the one time I had condomless sex, I got herpes. So I learned my lesson.
You did not.
I did, yeah. And I was the person that always would not only always use condoms, but always would ask my partners, have you, like, when was the last time you got tested, and have you ever had an STD? And even the person I got herpes from, I asked that too, and they said that they were good, but it was someone that I was seeing. So that was the only reason why I was like willing to not use a condom per se. Yeah.
Did he not know?
He claims he didn't know, but it's like, I'll never know if that's true. But it basically was like, man, all the people I know who have been running around this city, not using condoms, are like fucking a lot of people. And I never was like nearly that promiscuous. And then I'm the one time I don't, I get like an STD. But also since it's HSV1, that's like the cold sore kind. Technically, it could have came from his mouth. I don't know. So it's also like, even if I did use a condom, I might have got it from if he had it orally and like when they go down on you type of thing. But there were no signs. There were no physical signs either way. What?
Was it definitely from him?
Yeah. He was my only new partner in like a year. And also I got tested immediately when I had like two little bumps. I got my blood taken. And then 4 days later, I had like the full outbreak, went to my dermatologist and they did like a swab test. And my blood test came back negative and they were like, oh, you just got this because you don't have any antibodies in your blood. And then they also were like, that's why they were like, yeah, it makes sense that your outbreak like became a full outbreak. They're like, you have no antibodies. This is the first one you have. And the thing is, I really haven't had an outbreak since the first one. And it's been like, it'll be 4 years this summer. But like, it's just crazy that I like caught it. I knew it was this person. But even when I told him, I wasn't like, you for sure. Like I didn't come at him. I just was like, hey, this happened. I'm waiting for results, but like, can you go get tested type of thing?
But in his defense, he may have given it to you by going down.
That's what I'm saying. We technically won't know.
So many people have HSV-1.
Exactly. And also he claimed to never have an outbreak or not know. And if that's true, he could have had cold sores as like a child and they never came back. And, he didn't know
that he was shedding.
Yeah. But the shedding is like literally, it's so rare to even be shedding. So like, even at the doctors and stuff, when I would tell them the story, they're always like, this is a very rare case of someone getting it this way. But it's also like, they're like, yeah, this really isn't a big deal and you're fine. So in terms of pandemic dating, I'm like, well, hopefully COVID makes herpes seem pretty chill now.
But I'm sorry, most people will have had a cold sore as a child. Most, isn't it something like 80% of the population or something have that HSV-1?
Like a lot of people have HSV-1.
A lot of people,
and yeah. And so I didn't realize you could get genital herpes from your face herpes.
Yeah. So that's actually how a lot of people end up getting it. They're like, oh, I didn't know because they had a cold sore that I was going to get it if they went down on me, which is like, yeah, you shouldn't even be like sharing a drink with that person, let alone like having sex with them if they have a
But if they don't have the cold sore, it's a low risk, right? If they're going down.
Yeah. I mean, same with just herpes in general. It's like if there's no outbreak, the risk of getting it from someone is so, so low, especially if you take like the medication. It's like nothing. But what's so funny is the medication helps more from transmitting it than condoms do, because it's like, it's the skin disease. So it's not transmitted the way that other STDs are transmitted, which is exchange of fluids. So like even wearing a condom, it's like, if I guess technically, if like your balls are to touch the vaginal area, you could get it on your balls and you still have it just the same way everybody else does. So
there you go. You were very unlucky in fairness.
Yeah. But what are you going to do?
So, and he didn't have a cold sore in his face, but he just might have had...
He might have been shedding.
Yeah, essentially. Like, because I also didn't see him...
But also, he may have also had HSV-1 on his dick.
Exactly. Because there's plenty of people actually that have either type of herpes, HSV-1 or 2, and have never had an outbreak. They just go in for their routine STD testing, and they're like, turns out I have herpes. And it's common that some people just... It's almost like COVID. It's like some people are just asymptomatic. Yeah, they don't have any symptoms. Yeah. But like the guy I was with for 4 months, we weren't using condoms and he never got it. So it's like, I got a test
since the fucking lockdown. I'm STD free. And whoever I meet up for the first time, they're getting it without a condom. I don't care what anybody says.
Yeah, that's the attitude.
Yeah, I made Blurry get an STD test during the pandemic.
You did?
Because he's only like been in like serious relationships. So he never really, well, anyway, he never had one. God, I hope he doesn't listen to this.
What? But I was like, that's crazy.
Well, yeah, well, he's not like, he's new to New York. Anyway, he's been in serious relationships or whatever, or maybe he hasn't had one in a while. I can't remember, but it was a long time. So he was like, oh, would you get a COVID test before we ever, you know? And I was like, if you get an STD test. So he did get an STD test, which is good. But he was able to get it while he was getting his COVID. So I had gotten one just right at the start of the pandemic. So we both knew that we were good. But I've had cold sores as a child. I had one or something. And well, then I
we
had
shouldn't
one.
Have talked about herpes. Katie gets very bent out of shape when you bring up the herpes.
Really? Katie knows I have it. Why? I thought she would ask me about it at some point. But
no, I don't get bent out of shape. I just get worried. I get worried about everything.
Yeah, as you should. But
why do you think I get bent out of shape?
No, I'm just kidding, because you came back to the herpes.
Oh, because I came back to the herpes? What do you mean?
Just because we had... Oh, I know. We were still talking about the STD. But sorry, you just brought it back to the cold sores.
Oh, and I'm just saying, I have had it as a kid, and it was just, it's confusing as well, because you're like, I didn't even know that. So that's good to know as well. But what do you tell every partner then who wants blowjob? I've had a cold sore when I was 7.
Well, that's the thing, right? So we branded it cold sores so people don't think it's herpes. It's the same exact thing. It's the exact same thing.
Wow.
But it's something like, yeah, everyone that has cold sores doesn't tell people like, hey, by the way, I get cold sores sometimes. So there's a chance you could like get a cold sore, even just like on making out level. So it's interesting. That's like, you don't do it for that, but it's like, if you have herpes genitally, you like need to be disclosing to partners.
That's
so, like,
right.
Then it's a debate. Like, cold sore people don't say anything. So why do I have to say anything? But the other thing too, with STD testing, they don't test for herpes because it's so common. Like, you have to ask for it specifically.
But isn't it the case
that they'll only test for you if you're symptomatic?
Some people, well, I've had friends literally be like, I've hooked up with someone that, you know, I knew had herpes. And so it's like a month or two goes by and they go to just get a test. They're like, I want to get a herpes test to make sure like I'm okay and don't have it. And they've had doctors be like, I mean, you'd rather just like not know, because if you don't have any symptoms of it, like, they almost were being like, do you really want to now have to tell everyone you have sex with that you have herpes? Which is like crazy. Because a lot of times they kind of discourage you from getting tested if you don't have an outbreak, which is dumb because so many people have it and have no idea they have it. So like, I've had, you know, partners that before we slept together, I told them and then they were worried. And I was like, you probably already have herpes. There's a chance you have it. So I'm like, go get a herpes test. And they've been like, yeah, turns out I have HSV-1. And I'm like, yeah, that's exactly what I have. So like, we're good. You know, this is the same thing.
But oh, so here's a question. Can you... So you've got HSV-1. You unluckily it presented in your vagina.
Yeah.
Can you then spread your HSV-1 to somebody who already had cold sores to their genitals?
No, it can only manifest in like one area. So the only way for you to have two types of herpes is if you have HSV-1 on your mouth and you have HSV-2 on your genital area. You can get type 2 on your mouth, but it is so rare. It's like 1 in 10 million or something. It's so, so
wow.
The other thing is, since I have HSV-1 genitally, I can't get HSV-2 genitally.
Oh, you can't?
I can't. So that's like...
And is HSV-2 generally considered like more virulent? Is it more of a problem normally?
It's a little bit more painful, and HSV-2, you tend to have more outbreaks.
More outbreaks.
But that also like just depends on the person and whatnot. But they mainly differentiated HSV-1 and HSV-2 for the fact that cold sores are more common up here. So that's like where the like differentiation, yes, between 1 and 2 started. Because I've had some people be like, oh, you have the good herpes. And I'm like, it's the same thing.
No, sorry. You have the baby herpes.
Like, it's like, that doesn't mean one is bad. Or it's almost like, oh, I would sleep with HSV-1 people. I wouldn't sleep with HSV-2 people. And it's like, we are the same.
No, wait, you're not, in regards to, it is less painful. It's less outbreaks. Like, I know, you like, you don't want to shame anybody. It's, you know, and so.
Yeah, like, I'm just sitting here being like, I'm not better than the other herpes type of people.
No. And like, some got, like, one of my friends is like the most beautiful. A couple of my friends actually have the other one. And it's like, they're still 100 times better than any guys that would be like, oh, I don't want to bang her, because I'm like, you wouldn't get her anyway. I'm sorry.
Listen, guys, I hate to interrupt, but I mean, it's a really good testament to this conversation, but you know, we're chatting for nearly an hour and 20 minutes.
Oh shit.
Okay, well, I just was
which will be the longest conversation that we've had probably in a year.
Well, I was just looking up the way they test for HSV-1 and HSV-2 in my results. So it has like, they do like, oh, that says HIV. I was like, what?
I was like, the two tests are blood or swab, but you can only do the swab when you currently have
it. Oh, yeah. So they have it like HVS-1, like they have like the and HVS-2. So there's like a... They test in your blood to see, so they can tell you the percentage of how much is in it. Does that make sense? So I have a low HSV-1 because I had a cold sore.
Yeah, there's
no
like a number.
HVS-2.
Yeah, that's like our second part of the test that tells you essentially how active it was. And so it kind of gives you a gauge of how recently you had it, or at least how recently you've had a quote outbreak. So like me, my number is very low because I've had it for like 4 years. And like the person I told to get tested that turns out also had HSV-1, their number was also so low that their doctor was like, yeah, you didn't get it from this girl. They're like, you've already had it for a long time. Because he got tested like a week or two after we hooked up. And the doctor was like, yeah, this wouldn't show up like this.
Yeah.
Or this quickly.
Well, that a lot of kids as well get it. Just I remember Googling about it because I didn't understand, but it was like from their grandparents kissing them on the face. So like a lot of people have it. Yeah, just
sharing
from like being
sharing
seven.
Glasses when you, off your mom, you know, it's very easy to get.
Well, that's mostly why we stopped like letting people just kiss babies, because literally that's how cold sores were spreading so much. It was like young children kissing on the lips with like adults.
Well, there you go. So I guess that if people should be nearly like, yeah, I guess if you have it. So if you're with someone who already had a cold sore, then you're both cancel each other out. Well, I'm so fucking confused. STDs confuse me so much.
I tell you, it triggers her anxiety.
I'm already convinced I have liver disease, lads.
Oh, man. I'm
because
sorry,
I got... I was
Katie, I gotta go. Katie, before you go, I actually have to go. I was also bringing that up about the amount of time because I actually have
okay,
to
we
go,
should man. Go. But thank you, Erica.
But let me go. Let me go, and you wrap it up with Erica. I'm just gonna go.
Okay, and then
so I let yeah you send me the oil. You guys sign off properly. I'm rushing off. Erica,
you switch me to host.
Love me, so that, lovely to meet you. Switch. Oh, I gotta. Oh, I can just Katie leave.
Host.
Oh,
no, make
I don't
host.
I don't know. Okay, hold.
It's fine. We'll just,
No, I'll make you host because these things are good to know. Sweet.
Okay, great.
You're the host.
Okay, great. Well, it has gone too long anyway. It's an hour and 20 minutes, so we'll wrap it up. I was just saying I was convinced from all the alcohol. I was also taking tablets that I wasn't meant to drink alcohol with. And then I've been having nightmares now that I have liver disease because I saw, like, I have a rash on my arm and it said if you have a rash, it could be hepatitis C. So now I'm convinced I have liver disease.
Oh, man.
Which I don't. I'm sure I don't. This is just, I'm convinced I have, I went to a doctor once convinced I had herpes as well, but I was actually allergic reaction to soap.
That's happened before. People, like, have an allergic reaction to latex.
Yeah.
And it'll just be so irritated that they're like freaked out that they have an STD or, you know, have herpes or something else. And then the doctor's like, actually, you're allergic to latex.
It's good that... Whoop! I just dropped my cup. It's good that you're saying this anyway. I know briefly at the end, but because it is good to like normalize it, because I've had one time we had a girl on the podcast talk about having herpes and my friend was like, oh, like, why would she like openly talk about that? That's so disgusting. And he like has cold sores all the time. And I was like, oh, you don't realize that that's the same. And he was like, no, I had no idea. So it is good to be like, well, actually, yeah, you know, and like she said, it's just a fucking skin condition.
Yeah, literally, that's all it is. It's like, it's similar to eczema. Of like, it's a skin condition that you might have to deal with sometimes, but it really doesn't affect your health whatsoever. Like, if anything, I'm like, kind of like, I'd rather have it on my vagina than on my face. if you were to get outbreaks, because I'm like, man, how annoying would that be to like constantly have cold sores? I'm like, that sucks. And also I'm saying that because I basically don't have outbreaks on my vagina. If I did, maybe I'd feel differently. Like, actually, they're more of a pain. But, you know, it's like, that's the big thing I tell people. I'm like, yeah, if you get cold sores, you technically have herpes. So it's like, everybody kind of already has it and it shouldn't be this big scary thing. But I know that it sucks. Feel very alone.
I have the lip herp. Well, of course. And the thing is as well, because anything with your vagina or your dick or your bits, people just don't talk about it. So it's just like, and we're always just freaking out. And already, because there's already like... Worse, it's, you know, your face, everybody sees, no one sees your bits, so you're already like, is my pube hair okay, does my vagina look normal, is my dick size okay? So you add in any other fucking variable and you're like, oh, this is it, I'm just can't deal with it, because we don't talk about it. Like, so yeah, we're all great. We should let you go. What's your podcast?
Shooters Gotta Shoot is the podcast.
I'm so dyslexic. And if you're dyslexic, it's really hard. Erica Spera. Oh, no, it's not. It's at Spera?
Sperica. But if you search Erica Spera, you'll find me. And Sperica is Spericaa.
Okay, great. I'm going to end this.
All right, thanks.
And
thanks
I'm
for having
talk
me.
To you for a second.
Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Mm. Hello Fresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.